Sometimes we can be afraid we're not worthy to receive. But the truth is, we don't have to be. Jesus was worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. The biggest part of receiving from God is believing that Jesus was worthy. I believe that's the main reason why we don't receive from God as a church. It's not knowing how powerful the blood of Christ was to purchase all of heaven for you. That the price that Jesus paid was enough for us to receive everything. But the biggest problem with receiving is unworthiness. Not knowing how what Jesus accomplished for you, for us, for His family, what it bought you. See, I was in Mexico one time, years and years ago. In fact, we'd all go in a big van down there, and I was doing a service in this church, and we had miracle night. It's miracle services, and I said, Tuesday night is deaf ear night. Bring all your deaf friends on Tuesday night. Wednesday night is cripple night. Bring all your cripple friends on Wednesday. And Thursday night is blind eye night. Bring all your blind eyed friends on. And, you just have fun sometimes. And it worked. People brought people, and the blind eye night, we had 5 blind eyes healed. But I remember these services, because in one of the services, there's a little sweet lady. She was elderly, and she was on the ground during the prayer line, kneeling and crying. Say crying. Now, God is not, faith is not an emotion. Say that with me. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is a stand. Okay? And what I mean by that is, you know, I'll sidetrack here for a second, but I was taught to believe that if I had fear, then I didn't have faith. That they don't live in the same world. And the moment you have fear about something, that proves you don't have faith, you got to start again. If you fear it, then you don't have faith. But faith is not an emotion. Fear is an emotion. Do you know you can have fear about a situation but have direction by God or His Word and still stand in faith while your emotions are screaming at you? So this little lady, she was crying out to God. And I knew what she was saying. I didn't speak Spanish, but I knew exactly what she was saying. By her actions, she was begging God to see fit to notice her and to touch her and to heal her, or bless, you know. And I stood her up and prayed for her and tried to teach her a little bit. But most of the church world, even though we're not that far into some religions, there's some religions, Christian named, that teach that you have to get God's attention to heal you. You have to get His mercy to heal you, His forgiveness to heal you. But to some extent, that's very strong in the Word of Faith camp as well. The idea or the belief that I am forgiven by the blood of Christ, okay, that God loves me and He'll forgive me of my weaknesses, but they don't see it for the power that it holds, in that you were forgiven one time. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved, and now you're a child of God. It's not the power of the blood that washes you today as much as what it did for you when it purchased for you the right to be born into the family of God. We do ask forgiveness when we fail and are washed. But when God sees you and looks at you, He doesn't see you in your failures. See, as a believer, the washing of the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins is different than the purchase price that the blood paid to born you out of sin and give you a new nature. The washing of the blood for a Christian means wash me, cleanse me, and strengthen me to overcome this thing in my soul. So when you fall to sin or weaknesses, when you struggle, which everyone does, you're free to receive from God on the basis as a child does a father. I'm trying to explain what I'm feeling here. All right, let's go look at 1 John. I can tell I'm not going to be able to teach my message. I've been trying to teach this for a long time. I just never get started. And First John, are you there? Let's start in verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, as He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we're not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Now, I'll stop there for a moment. There is a pathway in front of every believer. You're standing there and there's a pathway that goes out and to the right, and there is a tunnel on the end that is dark. And there is a pathway that comes out, and we'll say it goes to the left, and on the end of that pathway there is a tunnel that is light. Now here's what this scripture is meaning. That you can walk a walk into darkness, or you can walk a walk into light. That the pathway we chose, and I've been with many counseling sessions with people who are just astonished at how the devil has attacked them. and is destroying things around them. And I know that absolutely we see that, and we see the enemy do things. But most, if I'd say the majority of people who have told me that the devil is doing this and the devil is doing that, is not the devil at all. It is a compilement of many wrong choices, or a few wrong choices that have paid off later on down the road. How many know that your choices can cause you a lot of trouble? Best way to stay married and not get divorced is to pick the right spouse the first time. That will help you. In our country, we need to have a little more respect for marriage. If we had more respect for marriage, we'd think a little more closely about who we marry. If we really were to say, this is who your spouse is going to be, you're never going to get to divorce them, ever. There's no other options. You might take a better look at that guy. Say, well, I know you're cute, but will you be able to pay the bills later on? Had one couple, they were living together in his mom's house, just a young couple. And I said, you know, it's all cute right now. You wake up at 10 in the morning, you look over at this boy, and you think, oh, what a fun night. That was so cute. We went out and partied. I said, but the moment you get married, a girl's heart changes. And all of a sudden, she will look to her, that boy is now her husband, as her provider and protector. And I said, right now it's cute when you look over at 10 in the morning and you're crashed out in his mama's house. So the moment you get married, you're going to look over and go, what are you doing in bed? You need to get up and get a job. Anyways. Most majority of people that I've talked to who want to blame the devil are blaming the devil for the circumstances that they're in, instead of when they listened to the devil and made little choices that got them to the place of destruction later on. We need to cast the devil out of this situation. Well, we can do that, but you're going to be in it again. Because you're here because you listen to your own soul and you listen to the devil instead of listening to God. So there's a pathway in front of each of us. One to the left, which will lead us into light, and one to the right, which will lead you into darkness. And here's what this verse is talking about. That when you accept your weaknesses as who you are and say, this is just who I am, God's grace is enough to accept me for who I am. See, there's a big move that I almost got swept up into many years ago that said that sin has been put away. So sin meaning God just accepts me the way I am. He loves me the way I am. I don't have to ever change. I don't have to look at and deal with my soul. I just get to be me. And he's going to use me and bless me and love me and walk with me, and everything's going to be great. And the moment you look at God's grace as a way to make him and try to force him to accept your flesh as who you are, you're on a pathway that's leading you in the darkness. And this is why when people start to pray in the Holy Ghost and they have a good look at themselves, because that's what praying the Holy Ghost does. The enemy begins to give them a nice layer upon layer of legal and legitimate concerns in their brain of why we don't need to pray anymore. It's not working. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. You know, there's a church down the road that's got gold, and they got so much money they have to put it in their chandeliers. And everyone drives nice cars, not beat up cars. They have nice houses. And you've been following this message, and where has it brought you? Look at the fruit. How many people are saved this week? How much outreach have you done? How much doing and giving has happened. See? But see, the fruit in Scripture doesn't talk anything about how many big your church is or how much money you have. The fruit in Scripture is inward. Love, joy, peace. Here in 1 John, keeping His commandments, loving your brother, holiness. The fruit that you need to look to see if someone is really following God is not with what activity they're doing. Because most people hide behind activities instead of facing themselves. It's much easier to go get your soul saved than is to deal with mine. The moment we accept or try to force God to accept our weaknesses as ourselves and say, this is who God is, He loves me. He does love you, but He doesn't love your flesh. He's waiting for the day for that flesh to fall off of you so He can activate your new flesh. He's waiting for the day for that old natural soul to drop off of you so you're free. And that's why when people stop praying in tongues and they start leading their life, there's such peace. I remember when I was running the Bible college, we have a student come up to me after, usually after about 6 weeks, they start running into themselves because the first year Bible college, we stripped them of all ministry. No ministry. And that was really annoying for some of them. Because pretty soon they had to learn to be okay and not being busy in God's presence. And after about 6 weeks, they come to my office and say, I just feel God's telling me it's time for me to go back home. I'd say, well, I thought God sent you here. Well, yeah, you know, but now He's sending me home. And I try my best to encourage them and say, no, you know, it's just you're dealing with yourself. I understand. You're dealing with your emotions. You're unsatisfied because, you know, there is a deceptiveness about the presence of God that says it has to be exciting. You have to get excited and you have to feel tingly for you to have a good service. And if someone's not crying or someone's not jumping or someone's not, it's really not even that good. But you know, I've been married now for a few years. And kisses and flowers only go so far. You know, my wife loves for me to kiss her and romance her. But that's good as long as you're taking care of business first. If you're not paying the bills as a man and being responsible for the home and taking care of your business, flowers do not impress a girl. Is that true? See, there's something nice about eating food at home that allows you to feel love, feel commitment. There's a part of foolishness. I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe that's not the right word. There's a part of shallowness that says God's in emotions. See, I watched many services where the preacher would tell you, God's got your situation under control. I know that something good's going to happen to you. I'm speaking to someone here tonight, but God's got a plan for you for next year that's going to take care of your problems. And eventually, after a few minutes, the emotions of a person who's going through something and believing God for something will start to get encouraged. And to where they say, yes, amen. Amen. God's, it's going to fix. It's going to be changed. Yes. I'm not going to be like this forever. Yes. And they get excited, and that's when the preacher says, amen, I had a good service. But the next morning when that preacher left, I had to deal with them. Because nothing changed in their real faith. Nothing changed. They just got excited for a moment that maybe there was hope for change. Faith is not an emotion. It's a stand. It's who you become. It's tied into your relationship. But more than your relationship with Him, it's tied into who you are with Him. who you're becoming with him, who you're growing into with him. Now, I'm okay with, I like emotions. I like to have a good service with, you know, as a preacher, it's always good when people shout and amen and makes you feel better. But that's not the goal. The goal for us is to grow. Now, there is a pathway that will lead you into darkness. Darkness meaning separation from God. Where you walk away from God and walk away from your salvation. The day you choose to try to get God to accept you the way you are. See those students who would leave Bible college and actually go home after 6 weeks or 6 months. I'd always get a phone call. Every time I get a phone call. Pastor Allen, yes, this is so-and-so. Hey, how you doing? Oh, wonderful. I have so much peace now. Oh, it's just been so good. I'm just loving what I'm doing. And then they would say, and listen, I'm helping out with the youth. I'm helping out with the church. I'm not just tithing anymore. I'm double tithing. Because, and I said, you know, I understood. Because when you stop fighting with your soul, when you choose a path where I don't have to fight with this monkey that's on my back, Alan Taylor, there's peace when you just say, oh, hey, me and Alan are going to heaven. Alan's not going to heaven. Alan died the day I was born again and left me with his flesh. God's not the father of our flesh. He's the God, the father of our spirit. And so I'm on this pathway in the darkness, meaning I'm trying to get God to accept me and accept Alan so I don't have to deal with him. Now, depending on how far along you go down that path, most people don't go far enough to walk away from their salvation. But some do. There will be a day if you last long enough on this path. And these are some of these people are having wonderful experiences in their emotions, their natural emotions, feeling they're with God, but they're on a pathway that's leading them away from Him. And there could be a day where you are asked by the Holy Spirit, stop this in your life. And you say, I don't want to. It's who I am. And that's the day you choose to walk away from God. God does not take salvation away. You walk away from it. That's when you will hold more precious your life, the life of Alan. You'll hold more precious that than obedience to him. The reason why there's so much peace when they were on the phone and they left what God told them to do was because there's no more fight. I don't have to fight with Alan anymore. Praise the Lord. And when you're not obedient, it says in Scripture, it's better to obey than to, you can say it, sacrifice. It's better to obey than to sacrifice because the moment we stop obeying, that's the moment we start sacrificing more to make up for it. Now let me go back to this, back to the middle here. But if you walking into the light, you have a battle. The battle is with your flesh. And how many know that not everyone is raised perfectly? And I'll tell you something else. Age does not equal maturity. Being nice does not equal love. Some of the nicest people I know are the most insecure. Anyways. Walking into the light means that you accept truth as this is who I am, the inward man. The outward man is not who I am anymore. God saved me out of Alan and gave me a new life. And then as I followed him, especially as, you know, it's not by accident I ran into Pastor Dave. It's not by accident that nothing's by accident because I started to follow him. Can I tell you how many people fight Well, let me back up. The fight in me to prove I was a minister, to prove I was worthy, to prove my worth, began to disappear the more I matured on the inside. The fight in me to prove to you, to prove to God, to prove to myself that I was worth something, that fight started to leave when I started to grow in Him. Because I was walking into the light, and if I failed, His blood was there to cleanse me. See, cleanse me from my failure and also cleanse me from unrighteousness. That's a different term. Cleanse me from unrighteousness is helping me to overcome the things in my natural soul. See, that's where the desire for sin is. Some of you think you're a failure because you have a desire, you fight a desire for sin or for weaknesses. I haven't just had to overcome sin. Listen, I've had to overcome insecurity. I've had to overcome being timid. When I was in high school, I moved from a little school to a big school. From a little town to a big town. And halfway through my 11th grade, I got thrown into this huge school. I had no friends. I was so embarrassed that I had no friends that when I had lunch, because I had to catch the bus, school bus, the city bus to go to school, I had no friends. So I ate my lunch in the bathroom. I just gobbled it down because I didn't want to go down to the cafeteria and eat in front of people and not know anyone. Man, they're going to make fun of me. It took a long time to overcome a lot of those things that I had inside of me, inside of my soul. Every one of us have to overcome different things. That's why you better not judge someone else for what they're going through. Because you don't know their past. You don't know how big of a fight they're in. You know, some people haven't moved an inch in 20 years, and they look great. Some of you have come a million miles, and you're still a mess. But at least you've come a million miles. Just think about what the next million miles is going to do for you. Walking into the light is more than just choices. It's a choice to say, Father, my life is not my own. My struggle, listen, my struggle, the timidness, the different things I've struggled with, the desires for the decisions out of fear, those type of things. Some people think that they are struggling with the things in them, like, I am a sinner. I struggle with sin, therefore I am a sinner. Okay? I struggle with fear. Therefore I have no faith. I struggle with whatever, you know, there's a million things. We don't judge each other because each of us are struggling with things. But you have to look at it like, I am struggling with the desire for sin. But it's not me, it's my natural soul that's struggling with it. There is a weakness in my natural soul that was pushing me to desire sin. But I am not desiring it. I'm the one trying to fight it. Is this making sense to you a little bit? I am not the one who desires it. It's my old nature. Not my old nature, I'm sorry. My old soul. The leftover from my old nature. Alan desires to be recognized. The real me desires to obey Him. So I am fighting the desire to be recognized. I'm fighting the desire, the lusts or the fears or the temptations of my soul. See, sin is because there's something in you that wants what the devil's offering you, and you take a step to obey it. That is sin. Without temptation, there is no sin. If it's not in you, you're not tempted by it. For some people, you can take a pretty girl and put her in front of them. They're tempted. So for some people, no problem. So for some people, it's a plate of drugs. For some people, it's a plate of money. For some people, it's a plate of recognition. Sometimes when we say, I love you in the Christian world, we really don't mean I love you. We mean I'm trading you. I will do something for you. You'll give me what I want. I will prophesy to you. You say, oh, you're a prophet. I feel good about myself. You feel good about yourself. Nice trade. Thank you very much. I'll see you again next week. The preacher gets up. People say, oh, good service. You say, thank you. I feel good. Amen. We'll see you next week. The preacher gets up, receives a big offering. He feels good because that's what his tickling, that's what tickles his fancy. He promises you 100-fold or 1,000-fold or whatever you need, a Santa Claus, Boaz account. You get yours, he gets his, I traded you. Amen, good service. We'll see you next week. Bring your wallet with you. That's where we live in the church world today. Not I love you, I trade you. And there's a fight for some to be recognized. There's a fight for some to be... But the core root of the problem is an unworthiness before God that says, I have to accomplish something. I have to give him something. I have to be doing something to feel that God sees me as worthy. And we come for prayer. There's a underlining understanding that says, yes, I'm saved. Hallelujah. But I still have struggles. And one day when I get over these struggles, I'll be good enough. He'll see me as good enough. And when we pray in faith, we're really praying in hope, just like that little lady, the little cross, begging God for her healing. Just to a different degree, we're begging God. I hope I'm good enough. I'm worthy enough. Maybe I've done enough. Maybe I have enough faith or done enough prayer, have enough confessions under my belt that maybe then I'll receive. The walking into the light means that you don't accept the struggles you're fighting with as who you are. It's not who you are. You're the person you are when you're born again. This is when I learned to have compassion. Because every person who said the sinner's prayer, every person who asked Jesus into their heart, the moment they did, the nature of darkness was ripped out of them. And God replaced it with a nature of light. See? That means that every Christian who was honestly born again, the inward man inside of them is pure and holy and perfect. It desires, listen, just like a chicken's nature desires to eat grain, a duck's nature, Chuck the duck, desires to fly. Baby piranha loves to eat its sisters and brothers. You, on the inside, the real you, loves love, loves joy, loves peace, loves holiness and gentleness and kindness. That is the inward man. That is who you are to the core. So that showed me when I saw that, that proved to me that the reason why we desire to sin, the reason why someone's mean or jealous or angry is because they're broken. The real them is not coming through. The old soul, the natural part of your soul, is still pushing you. And when you walk into light, what you're saying is, I don't accept that as who I am. That's Alan Taylor that's trying to tell me that's who I am. But I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not. Haven't done enough. And I used to fight to prove that I was. I was a great traitor. But as I prayed in the Holy Ghost and followed my best to this message of growing my inward man, the fight began to leave me because I began to mature. See, all of a sudden I didn't need to be recognized. There was something in my view of who I was that said, you're just not good enough. I mean, they had us forgive, asking God to forgive us of sins. We forgive every morning. Lord, forgive me of my sins that I'm going to do today. Forgive me of my sins and my dreams from last night. Forgive me of my conscious sins, my unconscious sins. Forgive me of the sins that I didn't know I did. Or I was afraid to approach God naked. I didn't want to show him who I really was because I didn't think he'd accept who I really was. But see, the cloak that I was wearing, that I was covering myself with, was my flesh. I was cloaked in Alan. I was afraid to expose who I really was because I was never worthy. But I discovered that his love wasn't just he loved me. That his blood wasn't just to wash me, it's who he made me. The real me. And when I pulled off the cloak of my flesh, the real me was love, joy, desired holiness, desired purity. The walk into light is a walk of conquering our flesh. It's a saying, yes, this is what I struggle with, but it's not who I am. I'm not fighting myself. I used to try to conform my flesh into the image of God. This is what a good preacher Christian looks like. It doesn't say to conform your flesh. It says, do not be conformed into the image of the world, but be transformed. Transformation is from one species to another. That's not even a moth or a caterpillar into a butterfly. That is a one from one species into a completely different species. That when you were born again, the real you came to life. Alan Taylor died. I was given a new life, a new person. God rescued me out of Alan. Now I have the job of transforming into who he made me, out of who my parents made me. That is a walk into a light, a walk of submitting your will to God and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And when you get tired and lonely and you fail to a weakness or insecurity, you're real nice to everyone until you finally one day you're mean. Pastor Dave is the one that taught me. He said, you know when people are really nice to you and then they're really mean and ugly to you? The ugly one's the real person. You think, oh, they just had a bad day. No, that's the real them. They had a bad day and they got rid of the fakeness and became who they really are. When you say, that's not who I am, that's who I'm fighting, You're walking into light. And every time you may fail, His blood is there is to cleanse you. You can fail a million times a day as long as you don't accept your weakness as who you are. And here's my point. His view of worthiness is not based on how well you fight. It's based on who you are the moment you're born again. There should be a confidence in you every morning that you wake up that you and your Father are tight or connected or joined by your natures. And no matter what your fight is, it does not affect your worthiness. Your worthiness is from who Jesus is and what Jesus allowed you to become, not in what you do. You could be smoking a cigarette and God will still heal you of lung cancer. I know it's dramatic, but I hope you're getting this. Because there is an underlying unworthiness that most believers fight, and that's why they are driven to perform. They look at their performance record as who they are instead of how much love do you have? How much kindness do you have? How much gentleness are you walking in? How much holiness, how much of His commandments are part of you? See, the grace message, that twisted part that used to almost capture me. I'll tell you how the devil put it in my head. All sin has been put away with. It's impossible for a child to sin, to a believer to sin. That means that sin, the act of sin, is no longer sin. It's all under grace. So I can participate in whatever I want to. And it's no longer sin. And it's okay because God still loves me. He's still going to accept me. See, that's how powerful they think that grace is. But that is not what grace is. That is you trying to convince God to accept you and your actions as who you are. I don't have to fight with my soul, my natural soul anymore. Hallelujah. Peace hits you. Yes, this is great. The day I quit praying in tongues was such a great day. The fight left. I no longer felt ugly. I no longer felt. But see, don't tie in your struggle with unworthiness. That's just honesty. That's just what you're struggling with. See, love is not an action. It's who you are. Unless it's who you are, you're just trading. Ooh, that was good. I'm going to say that again. Love is not an action. It's who you're becoming. It's who you are. And until it's who you are, you're really just pretending. You're trading. And that's okay. We try to love. I know. You know. I still find I have limits. And as I mature, I'm hoping I believe more and more of those limits will be gone. I make fun of Pastor Dave. You can poke him with a stick. I try to be mean to him. And it's no fun. It's no fun being mean to Pastor Dave. It's no fun poking him because all that comes out is love. You ever try to pick on someone that doesn't respond, you know? I can push certain buttons. I'm really a professional. Being Canadian and dry sense of humor. Dry sense of humor people don't nitpick. They go for the kill. So if you're a nitpicker, don't pick a fight with a dry sense of humor guy because they'll let you nitpick on them and think you're winning, and then one comment, they'll just crush you. And watch you cry or watch you get mad or you know, that's the dry sense of humor. You learn what buttons to push. And when you're ready to end the fight, you just push it and watch you explode. But there's no fun pushing a button if there's no buttons. I had a lady come up to me and she said, "I'm just so tired. Everyone telling me what to do all the time. They just tell me what to do all the time. I'm just so tired of it. I just hate it. Everyone just tells me what to do all the time." I said, "You notice that no one tells me what to do?" "Well, yes." I said, "You know why? Why? Because I don't do what they tell me to do." I said, "You keep praying in tongues, and I hate to be the person who tries to tell you what to do, and you, after 50-some years, realize, hey, I don't have to do this." And you give them 50-some years of pent-up frustration on that one little person. I'd hate to be the one who does it when you realize, hey, I don't have to give in to this. It was her insecurity that was making her a lover. She thought she was loving people by doing things for them. But she wasn't a lover. That was her trading her services for affection, for approval. There's some preachers who want your recognition as a preacher. They don't care about your money. Their payoff is your exaltation. See? Walking in the light means you're going to have a good view of the ugliness of your natural soul, of your flesh. It doesn't mean it's who you are. And it doesn't mean that because you're fighting, you're unworthy. When we take the walk into darkness, we try to hide who we are and try to get God to accept us. We feel better, but we're actually walking away from the real us. Let me just read on for a little bit. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 4. "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him." See, the proof of love is holiness. The proof that you love him is you are keeping his commandments. See, when Pastor Dave and Gary and I used to get messages from the prayer center about Romans 6, that sin is no longer of us, that's when I started to get backing off from that grace message that said, I still am a grace preacher, but the twisted grace message. I said, "Oh, okay, now I think I understand. Having sin put away meant that because of my new nature, I now can live holy. Not sin put away meant God just accepts all my sins. Sin put away means I now can live holy. And the Ten Commandments, the commandments were a sign of what a believer is supposed to be like. I am now on a road to get rid of the things that are trying to push me into sin and push me into weakness and push me into fear. And it is a fight. But it's not who I am when I wake up every morning. I'm just as acceptable and worthy to God, whether I have a good day or a bad day. As long as I am not accepting my weakness as who I am." That means that no matter what you're struggling with, some of you have great big fights and you've been fighting for 20 years and you're thinking, "I'm gone nowhere. God told me I'm supposed to be having this ministry and that ministry, and all I've been doing is praying and fasting, and I don't see any fruit. Look at that guy. At least he's got some fruit. Look at, he's got some ministry. You're wondering what's going on. You're winning your fight. You're getting the right fruit. The right fruit is not, when you stand before each other, you don't need to be saying, yeah, this is what I did this week. What'd you do? How many souls did you get saved? What do you mean you haven't seen a soul all week? What have you been doing? I've been locked in a dark closet. Like a monk? Are you a monk? No, I'm dealing with my soul. The moment you stop fighting those things is the day you start trying to get people to accept you, make them put up with you. I used to tiptoe around people who had issues. You know, if you say the wrong word or do the wrong thing, they would be angry. That's what anger does. It trains people around you not to push your buttons. See, anger and crying, you know, those type of responses are people trying to train you not to touch their problem. And you get enough of those, you spend your day, especially if you live with them. You get trained a few times, you push this button, I'm going to kill you. What's what? I'll make you so miserable if you push this button or say that again. I'm going to make you miserable. You get trained, okay, it's not worth the fight. Or, I'm not going to talk to you for 3 days. If you're married, your wife says, I'm not, you can't touch me. Talk to him, do that, and forget it. You're being trained. They're trying to train you to put up with their problem. I used to tiptoe around people like that. And one day says, God spoke to me. He said, you know, you're tiptoeing around their problem. You're with them all day. They're having a great day. You're not. Because you're worried about their problem. I was making their problem my problem. And they were having a great day because they weren't having to deal with their issues. I finally quit tiptoeing around people's problems. And that's your problem. You deal with it. That's your issue. You deal with it. You go into a church and the pastor preaches something you don't like. You say, well, bless God, I want to complain to everyone around me. I want to teach them not to tell me what I don't like to hear. If someone ever comes to you and tells you what other people are saying about you, watch out. They're not your friend. If someone ever comes to you and complains about someone else, just give enough time, they'll be complaining about you to someone else. You've got to watch out and confiding in fake friends. Fake friends are real nice to your face, and you feel like you're safe, and you start telling them your issues or your heart. And it's all safe until they're mad at you, then they tell everyone. I don't know how we're getting all this dealing with other people's souls. When you stop dealing with yourself, you start making everyone else deal with you. The first sign that you are about to go on the wrong road. Now let me make this clear. That road in the darkness is a long road. Some messages will take you faster down that road and let you think you're serving God at the same time. But most people are on the road. Most Christians are on a road of darkness, but they'll never get to the tunnel. They just lose a lot of reward. A fast road into the tunnel, a faster pace, is a twisted grace message. That'll get you there faster. The second fastest, or maybe the fastest one in front of that one, is religion. That says, I have to earn my way. I have to work my way. That's the one that Hebrews was warning about in Hebrews 10. counting the blood of Christ as underfoot. But most people are on a slow walk. They've accepted who they are and they're walking. But the walking in the light is not pretty. The sign that you're on this road in the darkness is the day you come up with all the reasons why you don't need to pray in tongues. That's the day. Listen, once you hear this message, I can understand people not hearing this message. I'm talking to one person, counseling, and they keep telling me how to fix her husband. And when you counsel, you have to be careful, because if you talk to one, they're always trying to get you to tell a message to the other person. And the other person will try to get you to use your authority to direct this person. And this one person had issues, and I say, look, you want proof? You want proof that you're willing to make your marriage work? Tell me how much time you prayed in tongues this last week. Because that's telling me you're willing to make your marriage work. Complaining about your husband means you're trying to make your husband change to make you happy. You really want to prove that you're making your marriage work? You tell me how many hours you prayed in tongues this week. That was my first smack. Then the second smack was, now that I've told you that, you call me tomorrow and tell me how many hours you prayed in tongues. Or I'm not going to keep counseling you. Because I can get you back together, but then you're just going to go apart again. See, the proof that you're not accepting yourself as who you are is you grab hold of the things that you know is going to change you. Praying in the Holy Ghost, confession, everything we've learned here, fasting. It's always funny, the fasters are always the biggest guys preaching about fasting. It's true, we get big, we get small, we get big, we get small. How many have fasting clothes and how many have non-fasting clothes? My wife goes crazy. Can we get rid of these clothes? No. I want to be a man of faith. I tried to be a man of faith many times and we got rid of those clothes. And then when the pants start getting bigger, the best way to fix it is you just get a bigger pair of pants and don't feel so bad anymore, you know. That section of the closet keeps rebuilding itself, you know. So let's just, by faith, we'll just keep it there, but just we'll just pray we don't get back to the... First sign of your friends and of the people around you. If you want to know who to walk with, see how much they're praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the day they stop is the day they stop dealing with their soul. Because no man has the power. Well, how do I say this right? Willpower will never win over a damaged soul. Okay? You'll always get to a place to where you find yourself tired or lonely or depressed. And you do your thing. Whatever that thing is. But praying in the Holy Ghost changes who you are. The true proof to me in my life of humility is that I submit my soul to the altar of the Holy Spirit. The most dangerous cancer in a person's life that will bring destruction to them is not being teachable. Every young man or woman I've met that is not teachable is in for a hard, hard life. First John chapter 4 verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him. How? How do you know you abide in him? By your performance. And he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, that the love of God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The way we have boldness when we approach God in the end. See, when you stand before God, your flesh will not be with you. Your natural part of your soul will be falling off of you. And you'll stand before him in the purity of who you really are. Love has been perfected among us that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Here in 1 John, he is preaching to us to get holy, to become love, to become holy. Because that's who Jesus is. We should look like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. This here isn't talking about the boogeyman. It's talking about being afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of him. As long as you're walking into the light, you can get up every morning and look at your weaknesses and say, I am as perfect is. I am as worthy can be because of Christ. And this is my struggles. But if you're on the road to darkness, you're saying, I am accepted. And so is my problems. You can get up full of problems and struggles and weaknesses and still be healed and provided for, because it's who you are, his child. Why don't you stand? Say this with me. I have confidence that the blood of Christ purchase for me my childhood with God. He's my Father. And I'm worthy to receive all his promises today. No matter what I'm struggling with. Because I'm worthy. He made me worthy. I will not be afraid. I do not fear him. I do not fear his rejection. I do not fear his unanswered prayers. Because I'm his child. And that is what makes me worthy. I choose to not accept my struggles as who I am. They are my battle. I am pure. I am holy. I desire holiness. I desire love, kindness, gentleness. This is who I'm becoming. Thank you, Father, that you have not abandoned me with the struggles of my flesh. But you have made a way for me to become who you desire for me to be. Why don't you do this real quick? If you're looking for an answered prayer, just real quick, just give it to him right now. Say, Father, this is my request. I don't come to you as someone who's struggling and someone who's failed. I'm coming to you as your child who's, in your eyes, perfect. And I ask you to meet this need for me. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you so much that you love us. We don't see ourselves as trying to gain the right for your promises. We see ourselves as someone who has the rights because of what Jesus did. Even in our struggles, we have confidence that you still can meet our needs, heal our bodies, deliver us, salvation for our family. We are your children. You are our Father. And you are a good Father. Thank you for loving us so much. We will not be afraid of unanswered prayers. Thank you, Father. I'm going to go ahead and just release you.